blackjack.co.uk.
I'm a blackjack, keep your hands off of my stack.
Rift Accounting. Safety in numbers. Riftaccounting.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Where do businesses in Kent go to do business? Supplymybusiness.co.uk. Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join today. Supplymybusiness.co.uk.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on kentbusinessradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 23rd of August, with me, Paul Andrews, and marvellous Martin White. Martin, I think you've got a couple of things you want to bring to our attention.
Yes, so we're going to start with a travel grant that's up for grabs at the moment. So Kent County Council, through an organisation that they've set up called Kent Connected.
Oh, that's Lindsay Reynolds.
Lindsay Reynolds, who was on the show a while back now.
She was indeed.
You haven't got long. The applications for this travel grant run out on the 31st of August. It's up to £5,000 to pay for things like, could be showers, for example, in your office. It could be storage lockers for bicycles. I mean, they've got some wonderful examples of bike racks, for example, that actually double up as plant pots. The whole point of this grant is to actually get your business thinking more about sustainable travel to and from the office. So there's some fantastic grant money up for grabs, but you've got to be smart and you've got to be quick, because it runs out on the 31st. And the website you want is kentsmarttravel.co.uk, kentsmarttravel.co.uk.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. Well, here's something on a completely different basis. Women in Business Golf Taster Event.
Ooh.
The FSB Kent and Medway, in collaboration with four women, that's not four women, there's more than four of them, that's four as in F-O-R-E, four women have organised a fun day for businesswomen in Kent to give golf a try. And this is taking place at the Tudor Park Marriott Hotel and Country Club in Maidstone. And if you've ever wanted to give golf a try but have been worried about how best to start, then this is the day for you. You don't need to have any previous knowledge, you don't need any skill, you don't need any equipment, and you don't need any kit. All golf instruction will be from the resident PGA golf professional and from Felicity, who is the lady behind Four.
Felicity Dunderdale.
Yes, that is indeed. And she'll be on hand to answer any questions. All the equipment, golf clubs, golf balls, etc., is provided. So just come along, enjoy some networking, and have the chance to learn a new skill in the beautiful surroundings and enjoy a lovely lunch at the Tudor Park Marriott. That's taking place on Thursday, the 22nd of September. As I say, it's at the Tudor Park Marriott Hotel, Ashford Road, Maidstone. Bearstead, really. Ashford Road, Bearstead, really. And you can find out about it and book your place by going to the Kent Business Radio website, click on the FSB tab, and there is a link to the booking page there. So do check that out.
Nice little golf course that, Terry. Have you played there?
I have played that, yes. Mm-hmm. Badly, but I've played it.
Yeah. Terry and I are both golfers, but we won't be going to that event, unfortunately.
Well, I'm not a golfer. Yeah. I'm not a golfer, but I was a member of the Tudor Park for many, many years because I lived in Bearstead for a long, long time.
You're also not female, but that doesn't mean that you won't be going.
I know, that's not a drawback. No, not being female is not a drawback. I do actually go to lots of female events. My favourite events are the Women in Business events, which I go to all of them.
Shall we mark you down for that one then, Paul? Yeah. Felicity, Paul would like to come along.
I don't like golf, but I do like ladies.
Is there a dress code? That's what he wants to know.
Yes, you have to wear one.
Right.
Okay.
Can I mention something that's happening at Weston Hanger Castle? Because you had the lovely Sarah on last week.
We did.
Who was tweeting pictures of her feet as well, I noticed, on the day.
It's amazing how we drag people down to our level, isn't it, on this show?
But Weston Hanger Castle, what a beautiful place.
It's gorgeous, isn't it?
And on the 29th of August, there is a fun-filled family festival.
Fun-filled family festival. That's not easy to say, is it?
Fun-filled family festival. And day out at Weston Hanger Castle. So there's an outdoor cinema. Star film lineup. I'm assuming she means, is that Star Wars or is it just stars or film? I guess it's probably both. Great music. Some of the hottest artists around. Great food, drink. Plenty of popcorn, fun for all the family. That sounds like a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Starts at 9 o'clock in the morning, and it goes on till 9:30 at night. So that sounds like a lot of fun. Full details at Flick, FlickNic, flicknic.co.uk.
So that's the full box set job, isn't it? You know, 12 hours of film there.
Well, it's not just film. It's not just
well, it's film and fun and frolic, you exactly. said, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, it was actually fun-filled family festival.
I prefer fun-filled frolics myself.
Anyway, well done. Sounds like a great event. 29th of August.
Good stuff.
Is that this weekend? No, it's next weekend.
No, it's this weekend. It's bank holiday weekend. It's coming up, you know.
We're nearly through August.
Yeah, we are indeed. Scary. Just arrived.
Scary.
Exciting work by a 17-year-old Max White. He's a former Seven Oaks School art student, and he's the next big thing in the art world. His work is yet to be displayed, and we are pleased to be able to offer you an exclusive viewing prior to its release. For viewing details, contact Graham Grant, and you can contact Graham at the following email address. And Graham is spelt G-R-A-H-A-M-E. G-R-A-H-A-M-E. Graham at Grierson Galleries. That's GRIERSONGALLERS.com. GriersonGalleries.com. And that's from Grierson Galleries, who are an art gallery in Seven Oaks.
Is that Sally?
No, it's Annie.
Annie.
Annie Watson.
She was on the show recently as well.
She was on the show about 3 months ago. Yeah. Annie Watson. Yeah.
Yes, lovely lady.
Yeah, fantastic. And fantastic art gallery. Mm. She does a lot of work with Nepalese artists as well, and Nepalese cuisine too.
Well, I'm going to get another local event in because, for me, this summer has all been about local events. So we've just spoken about Western Hanger Castle. We've spoken about beach volleyball down in Margate last weekend. On the 30th of September, there is a literary festival happening at Cranbrook, lovely part of Kent, a celebration of books, reading and writing. So it looks like we've got some stars coming. We've got Julian Clary. We've got Sarah Raven, who I think she's quite a well-known gardener, isn't she? Mm-hmm. She's probably based in Kent. So we've got some fantastic readers as part of that festival. It's happening on Friday the 30th of September and Saturday the 1st of October at Cranbrook.
Cool. Good stuff. I just want to read this tweet before I forget, because I don't want to miss this. It's from Lee Willis, and Lee is a fabulous follower of the Business Bunker Show. He's been with us for many, many years. And Lee is also the chair of the Ancorians Football Club, who are a community football club over in Gillingham. And Lee has just tweeted me to say that Ancorians have a new youth disability session starting on the 31st of August. And it takes place at 6:30 p.m. in the evening. That's youth disability football at Ancorians Football Club over in Gillingham there. And the best way of finding out more about it is to follow Lee on the Twitter. It's Lee, this is his Twitter handle, Lee, spelled L-E-I-G-H. And his Twitter handle is Lee J-W. So do give him a follow on the Twitter. Or you can follow Ancorians FC.
I think your Tourette's is catching, by the way, Paul.
My what?
Your Tourette's. It must be catching.
Why?
Because Birdie has just brought me in a cup of tea
right.
instead of coffee. But it's very nice, Birdie. Thank you.
I've got your coffee then, probably.
You're not from Fulham,
just,
are you?
He's just a moaner. You've established that. I heard you schmoozing with her earlier. Oh, that's a lovely West Country accent. You got there, my lovely. Didn't he? I heard that.
West Country, not country yokel local, Paul. West Country.
What's he trying to say, Bird?
Denise,
I think he's being rude.
I think he might need some acting lessons. Start with elocution.
Well, I don't know why he was using an accent for your voice, because you didn't talk in a West Country accent.
No, I didn't, no. Paul.
Don't be picky. I'm glad they've taken the microphone away from her, because she's talking nonsense.
I think you need to take Paul and Birdie under your wing. Pardon the pun.
Here we go. Anyway, enough of all that nonsense. We're fast running out of time, and we've got two really interesting guests to talk to. So we'll not hear any more from Martin for a while. But what we will be hearing from is the lovely Leslie Dean. Leslie, welcome to the Business Bunker Show. It's an absolute pleasure. Oh, put your hands away. It's a pleasure to welcome you onto the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's an absolute pleasure. Where are you from?
Maidstone.
There you go. The West Country. That would be me storing in. No, okay. Leslie, thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Leslie? You're involved in the travel business.
I am involved in the travel business. I've been in travel for well over 25 years now.
You'd have thought you'd got there by now, wouldn't you?
Exactly.
Did you see what I did there?
It's a long road, yeah. long road travel. So I've been involved in travel for over 25 years. I've recently set up on my own. Mm-hmm. And although we're rebranding, we're actually calling it Travel by Leslie at the moment.
Okay.
But I started my business because I wanted to kind of offer everyone the one-stop shop and also to offer that personal service. Mm. So I'm the one that kind of, I will email out to the resort before you go out and make sure that you got the right room, make sure you got an upgrade possibly, make sure there's something in your room on arrival. It's just going that little bit further. But also I'm available to speak to out of hours. You know, people are working. They don't have time to speak to someone at 9 to 5 in the daytime.
Do you know, it's an interesting phenomenon, this, because it's something that I'm seeing more and more in all kinds of facets, not just with travel, in all kinds of facets. We went through a period where cheap and cheerful was everything, yeah? And, you know, we'd all pile onto the internet and just find the cheapest whatever we were looking for, whether it was a phone deal or, you know, food or a holiday. We just go, you know, who's got the cheapest? We'll book it. And then everything would go wrong. And, it, you know, you get what you pay for. And at the end of the day, nobody really cared. And people had horrid times doing all kinds of things. Now, I think services like yours, people are starting to appreciate more and more and more, because it is, as you say, a personalised service where you help people not only tailor their own package for their holiday, but you're there to support them. And that's the key thing, isn't it?
It is the key thing. And as you said, people used to think that they were their own travel agent and they used to book their own holidays online. Mm. And in fact, even on TV the other day, there was a money expert saying, book your flights and your accommodation separately and save yourself some pounds. Mm. You're not atoll protected. Mm. And we've only just had low-cost holidays go bust on us, which had moved their operation over to Spain to save their atoll fee. So, you know, you've got to know the right things. You've got to make sure that you are protected in case anything ever happens.
Yep.
It's funny how many people emailed us during that time that haven't booked through us, but they just emailed us to say, can you help me? Mm. I booked my holiday myself and now it's all gone wrong.
Yeah.
You know, to save a few pounds. We are there, you know, we don't charge a fee, but we are there to kind of take the pressure off you. It can take hours sorting through to find the right holiday for someone. Mm. So.
And presumably you can tailor a holiday in the way that some people are saying, you know, you ought to go and book all your own bits and pieces, but you're there to do that in a way that's kind of done professionally and properly and as you say, protected as well.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, we do quite like the complex ones. I mean, we've got a few that are doing 2, 3, even 4 centre holidays now,
right.
Especially in someone like the Far East. That's really popular.
I never go on holiday. I haven't been on holiday for decades. But many, 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 many years ago, when I had a very young family and we decided, my wife at the time and I, we had our own business and we never went on holiday because it was just too difficult. And we decided to have a big family holiday at Christmas. And half the family wanted to go skiing and half the family wanted to go snorkeling, which was not easy. So we actually put a holiday together ourselves and we went skiing in Colorado and then we went to the Caribbean for the second week to go snorkeling. The journey from Colorado was interrupted in Florida and then flying on the next day to the Caribbean. We left Colorado with the temperature at minus 40 in Salapets and we arrived at midnight in Florida. And talk about walking around a place, it was Miami Airport. Talk about walking around a place with a sign that says, mug me, I'm an idiot. Yeah. We arrived in Salapets, yeah, in 38 degrees heat at midnight with all these people in shorts and, you know, summer shirts. And we're all wearing Salapets. Absolutely.
It's like when you're at Gatwick Airport and you're actually about to go off and someone's just coming on.
Yeah.
You know, they just come back and they're all in their shorts and it's freezing cold.
Yeah.
It's quite funny watching all that.
Exactly. So you're putting these packages together. And the thing I love even more than that is you're offering this support service. That must be quite a strain on you, though, because I guess people are going to ring you or email you or whatever they do at some odd times, too.
They do, but I think they're more surprised when they actually get a response back.
Right. OK.
Yeah, I've had emails on Sunday mornings. I've had phone calls.
Just as a word of advice, if a lady called Jules Serkin contacts you and asks for a holiday, don't do it.
OK.
Don't do it. You'll regret it, really, because she calls at some really odd times. Really odd times. Okay, so I want to explore. I mean, we're kind of fast approaching the end of the summer in the UK here. Are you still doing summer holidays 2016, or are we fully into 2017 now?
No, we're still doing 2016.
Are we?
We're still doing kind of September, towards the end of September now, but we are still doing it.
Right, okay.
Leslie's got some wonderful offers, I think, to...
I wonder what you were going to say there for a minute. She's got some wonderful what?
Offers.
Right, okay.
To Iceland, I think, haven't you, at the end of the year?
Do you know, I've always wanted to go to Iceland, and I've never been to Iceland. Have you been?
Yes, I went in February this year.
Oh, what's it like?
Cold. Very, very cold. It's literally, as you said, when you got off the plane, it hit you.
Right.
It was brilliant.
Right.
Absolutely brilliant. The people are brilliant. The country's amazing. Mm. The hotels are great. The weather can really turn, and it can completely change your plans. Mm. The only trip we got to do was the Blue Lagoon.
Right.
Because the weather turned and everything else got cancelled.
Right.
You're going to need a mortgage if you want to go out drinking.
Right, okay.
I think it was £25 for 2 pints of beer.
Wow.
So it was quite expensive, but it's a short stop kind of destination, or you can now twin it with going on to New York or even the Caribbean, as you said earlier.
Okay. I want to talk about Iceland because I'm not fazed by it. I'm teetotal, so it doesn't bother me. I couldn't care less what you pay for your beer. I can drink cold water out of a lagoon. I'm fine. I'm fascinated by Iceland because I've never been there. As you say, it's quite cold. And I also believe, is it one of these places that's so far north that at certain times of the year it doesn't get dark and the rest of the time it's pitch black 24 hours a day almost?
It wasn't quite pitch black, but when we woke up in the morning, it was kind of... God, we woke up at a stupid clock and it was 9:30 in the morning. Right. It was still dark. The sun hadn't come up.
Right.
But if you go in the summer, you do get 24 hours of daylight.
Right, okay.
Which is quite weird coming out of the clubs and everything then, and it's all it's all still happening.
Cool. And, of course, Iceland's famous for its geothermals and all the rest of it. Mm. So although it's a cold country, lots of people hang around naked sitting in pools of water and stuff, I do believe.
It was wicked. It was brilliant. It was 38 degrees in the water and -9 when you got out of the water.
Right.
So you didn't hang around very quickly. You literally got your dressing gown on and you were gone.
Right.
38 degrees in the water.
It was
I mean, that's
heaven.
Quite warm. My local pool is about 29 at the moment.
Yeah, it's cold.
Yeah.
So 38 is quite warm enough, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah, my swimming pool's 29. You're right. Yeah. Cool. So Iceland, that's somewhere I want to try. I'll talk to you about that.
It's a great destination.
So at the moment, Leslie, summer holiday-wise...
I think one of our... Just to finish on Iceland, I think one of our friends, David Dakar, is going to be going on a trip with you, isn't he, there? At the
he
end of
is
the
inquiring
year?
About it, yeah.
Leslie's doing an offer where you've got 3 nights from 249, and that includes a city hotel in Reykjavik, flights...
Oh, we're still talking Iceland here.
Breakfast and a Northern Lights tour, because that's really why, I guess, a lot of people go there, isn't it? See the Northern Lights.
It is, it is.
So brilliant. What a great deal. £249, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's brilliant. And you get some Bjork thrown in as well, presumably.
She's mentioned out there quite a lot.
Yeah. from your point of view, summer holidays still.
Yeah.
What's popular? Where's happening at the moment?
For the summer holidays, if they're still looking to go in this year, it tends to be Greece islands, the Greek islands still very, very popular, or Cyprus, or most of my clients go long haul still.
Right, okay.
They're still going, you know, to the Caribbean, Indian Ocean.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're still doing estates, and Canada's very popular as well.
Okay. So Indian Ocean, where we Maldives?
The Maldives. I used to live out in the Maldives. I was a holiday rep in the Maldives.
Were you?
Yeah, it was great fun.
Lofoten.
I was on Mirufenfushi.
Were you?
But I wasn't far from Lofoten.
I spent a holiday on Lofoten. That was interesting. That was really interesting. You got to like curry, is all I can say, because you get it for every meal, including breakfast.
Including breakfast, yeah. I remember the fish curries for breakfast.
Yeah, absolutely. Choice of fish or goat.
I think you're right. I think a lot of the resorts are run by Indian people. The islands are owned by Indian people, I think. Mine certainly was.
Yeah.
So.
I think they employ a lot of the Indian staff because obviously the Muslims won't deal with the pork products out there. So they tend to...
or the alcohol. Yeah.
Yeah, so they tend to employ the Indian and the Sri Lankan staff there. Mm. So that's why it's very...
When I was in Lae Fushi, which again was a long, long time ago, so a lovely little island, quite a few of the local staff were actually local Maldivians, and they were all heavily into their football, and they blagged us into staging a football competition between the English tourists, the German tourists, and the locals, and that was quite funny. And of course, we won, obviously. But, yeah, no, fantastic places. So Maldives still popular.
Maldives is still very, very popular. Mauritius,
yep.
Very, very popular.
Right.
One of my favourite destinations. I've been there a number of times. Very big for destination weddings and honeymoons.
Right, okay.
In fact, that's where I'm getting married myself, so because I've liked it that much.
So, hold on. You liked it that much, you decided to get married just so you could go back, or...
More or less. I think I'd always decided I was going to get married in Mauritius. Then the fiancé came along.
She goes, you'll do. We're getting married because I've got a honeymoon lined up and I need something to go
it's
with.
It's like any other perk of the job, isn't it, Paul? I mean, you run a radio station, so you sit in a windowless studio all week long.
On my own, yes,
exactly. Denise runs a travel agency, so she spends her life in Mauritius. And
Denise.
Leslie spends her life jetting around the world.
Absolutely, and why not?
Well, I'm off to Sandals, actually, in next month, so...
Oh, we're back to feet, are we?
Well, he did mention he likes his feet, so I thought I'd bring some sandals along.
Is this Sandals in...
Caribbean.
Yeah, I know it's in the Caribbean. I was trying to remember what island it's on.
Barbados.
I'm going to the Barbados one and the Antigua.
Okay.
Sandals.
Right. Antigua was the one I was trying to think of, yeah.
They're everywhere. They're on every island in the Caribbean.
Well, I was trying to think. I was trying to think where I've only been to...
Jamaica?
No, she went on her own.
boom, boom.
The old ones are the best.
Right, moving on.
Yeah. No, I can't remember what it's called. It's...
St. Lucia.
That's the chap. Yeah. How did you know that? How do you know I've been to St. Lucia? I've been to St. Lucia, yeah. I've got some funny stories about that, but we're running out of time as well. Which is why I haven't been on holiday for a long time, because I'm still living off the stories from 20 years ago. Do you do winter holidays?
I do winter holidays as well, yeah. We do the ski holidays. Mm. We work quite closely with Club Med.
Right.
Nielsen's and all the kind of activity-based holidays as well that we do.
So are you doing 2016 winter holidays now? Is that what it's booking right at the moment?
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're even booking 2017 summer holidays. And some are just about to go into 2018 as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that is sad, isn't it? Having to spend your life planning your holidays. So, on the winter scene, what's what's happening there? Apart from Iceland, of course. Not a lot of skiing in Iceland, mind.
Not a lot of skiing in Iceland. Yeah. We've booked a couple of Christmas breaks actually for seeing Father Christmas in Lapland. That's
quite
an interesting trip today.
Okay. It's the Ice Hotel as well.
The Ice Hotel. Yes, you can still do the Ice Hotel. That tends to be more in Sweden.
Right, okay.
You can visit the Ice Hotel.
Right, okay.
That's another holiday.
Lapland is in Finland, I believe, Paul.
It's its own autonomous area, actually, Martin.
Every time I laugh, my chair squeaks.
Sam A.
You should read your chair.
Yeah.
Paul, you need to get out more. The bottom line is you need to take a holiday. And there's a whole world out there.
I'm going to talk to Leslie.
Outside of these four walls. You need to get on a plane and see it.
And go somewhere.
And absolutely. Go somewhere.
Yeah. Absolutely. Leslie, we could talk about this forever.
Denise can stand in for you with Jules while you're away.
Cool.
We might even grow the listenership.
Oh, that wouldn't be difficult, would it? We could talk about this forever, but sadly we're running out of time. If people want to find out how to book travel or get travel advice or support from Travel by Leslie, how do they do it?
They can either call me on 0800 983 0075. Or they can find me on Twitter at Leslie_travel or at Travels by Leslie. I've also got an email address where they can contact me as well, which is leslie.dean@yourholidaybooking.com.
Fantastic. Leslie, thank you so much for that. We're going to be talking to you about a holiday if I ever have one.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
And it's an absolute pleasure.
We'll pay for it, Leslie. Just get rid of him for us.
They're desperately trying to get rid of me. It's all it is. Do you know what it actually is? They don't care about my well-being at all. They just want to sit in this chair.
It could be a charity event, couldn't it? Like crowdfunding for you.
You see, exactly. Leslie, I'm liking you more and more and more as time goes past. And we've only just met today, but you are a fabulous person. You're absolutely right. If all this lot want me to go on holiday, they ought to blooming well pay for it, didn't they?
Definitely.
By crowdsourcing it for me and sending me as far away as possible they can all have a turn in my chair.
There's a very remote research station north of the Arctic Circle.
Do you know...
In December, it's lovely. It's black. It's just permanent darkness.
Do you know...
No one will have to look at him.
Do you know, we did a Create event about 2 years ago. Create's a networking event at Fruitworks in Canterbury. And one of the chaps there was doing a talk about goals in life and ultimate experiences. And he ended his talk by saying, one of the things I want to do before my life ends, my bucket list, big thing, is to go to the station in Antarctica. And a guy sat right in the front row in front of him, said, well, I can arrange that because my brother is the station manager there. How amazing is that? A networking event in Canterbury, yeah? So we fixed him up to go to the Antarctic. We're not bringing him back, mind.
That's the South Pole, of course, Paul.
You know. Yes, yes.
We were talking about the North Pole. Well, never mind.
I changed the story because my story involved penguins.
I tell you what, Leslie's got a brochure here she brought with her today. It's called Sunset, Far Away Holidays. You just pick one, we'll organise it.
Okay. Enough already, because we're running out of time and we've got another brilliant guest to talk to. So I want to introduce now, so I don't have to talk to him anymore, Terry Botfield. Terry, welcome to welcome to the Business Bunker Show. And I just need to tell you this, that he's got a brilliant Twitter handle.
Does he?
TD Botty.
That's the one.
Yeah, I like it. TD Botty.
That's TD Botty.
Yeah. Cool. Terry, welcome to the Business Bunker Show. Thank you so much for joining us. Why don't you tell the listener a bit about Terry and a bit about what you do?
Okay. I mean, I'll start off by saying I'm a bit older than you, Paul.
You'd never believe it.
I say 61. I'm a bit older than that.
Yeah.
So I could go
61
on
and a quarter.
And a quarter. Yeah. So I'm a bit more than that. That means I'll be able to talk for the next 7 hours about what I've done through in my life, which I won't do that. But no, my background, I mean, go from the accent. I'm from the West Midlands. Our kid.
Wish me good. Good night, Paul.
There you go. Yeah. And I was born 1 mile away from the West Bromwich Albion football ground.
Were you really?
Yeah. Now, whereas you're a Chelsea supporter with all the fabulous money you've got in the club, we have to manage with what we've got. A bit like many businesses in Kent, actually. You manage on a small scale and you make it happen. So, you know, I started from there. I've been in Kent now for 25 years. And I've done a few things. I used to be on the board of the Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce, for example, recently. Done a lot of work in schools on a voluntary basis. But spent most of my life in big corporate businesses, 40-odd years at senior level, and then retired.
What kind of industries involved in,
Terry? I was involved in B2B in businesses. I was director for Scottish and Newcastle for the South East, for example.
Okay.
Kimberly Clark, I've been involved in that, and that was selling to retailers and so on.
It's a tissue of lies.
In fact, one of the things I'm credited with, don't like to admit this too often, he's been part of the team that put together Twin Pack Tissues. Now, that's not something I want generally known, but it's worth... Funny thing was, you know, it worked, because you stuck them together, two boxes of Kleenex cement, stuck them together with a sticker. Guess what? 30% of usage went up by 30%, only because the things were sitting there on sideboards as well as where I was. So strange.
My wife and I buy those all the time.
There you go. There you go. It's my fault. So simplest of ideas sometimes. But anyway, so I spent a lot of time doing that. Retired in 2004, having worked for Royal Mail Group, doing quite a big job for them, and got fed up and decided to go back into it. I ended up at South Kent College, believe it or not, before it fell to pieces. Mm-hmm. Then went on to, which would be the public sector, did a few years there helping to sort out their trading business into a commercial venture. And then about 3 or 4 years ago, I decided to start my own business. Why? Because I got fed up again. Mm-hmm. So I keep stopping, and I have to keep going.
You're a man that likes a challenge, really, aren't you?
Yeah, I just love a challenge. Mm. So really, I've started my own business. It's business mentoring and coaching.
Sorry, when did you start that, Terry?
About 3 years ago.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, that's fine.
So you're nicely established now.
Well, established, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't do it to earn a million quid. I do it 2 or 3 days a week.
Okay.
And I also mix it with my volunteering stuff I do for a number of things. Recently, I've joined the Kent Foundation, so I just did mentoring for them.
Okay.
Paul Barron's lot.
Yeah.
And also, I'm about to finish my induction for the Prince's Trust.
Okay.
So I'll be working, hopefully, with them from September onwards. Because I like to, as you said earlier, I like to have a mix between making some money and enjoying doing that, giving something back, which I've tried to do since I retired, and then actually have some time for myself to play golf and spend time with my wife, for example.
Well, if you're playing golf, I know... Oh, no, that's for women, isn't it? It is interesting, as we were talking earlier, though, and you're another prime example of this, successful business people that also do things, especially helping young people through things like the Kent Foundation, the Prince's Trust, Young Enterprise, Startup Britain. There's lots of vehicles to do this through and lots of ways to do it. And it's really important that we do this and give things back. We've got an event on the 21st of September at Longfield School in association with the Federation of Small Business, which is a thing called 30-30, in which we introduce 30 businesses to 30 students, allegedly. It's a bit of marketing fluff. The numbers are actually a bit different to that. But what we've got is A-level students that have chosen not to go to university and are looking at entering the world of work. And we've got business people that are trying to get a feel for the skills, abilities and talents of young people, because there is a mismatch between those two things. In perception terms. So it's interesting that you're involved in a lot of those and you're mentoring with Paul Barron's group, the Kent Foundation and the Prince's Trust.
One of the things I was doing a lot of while I was working in schools was I had a thing about getting business and schools to actually talk to each other.
Exactly.
I was working with the Chamber and chaired one of their groups here. And I think we got it in the end because the local council sponsored 7 schools to get involved in sort of what you call coaching and mentoring from business. But there is this big gap. I mean, if you spent time in schools and you've actually been in and done the one day sort of Dragon's Den things and you've been in, I've done some sort of training with them for sort of CVs. What you find is actually, without being critical, the sixth formers in particular and some of the fifth formers don't actually have any idea what business is about.
Absolutely.
And absolutely. One of the things we can do as business people is to take the opportunity to go in and explain that. And support the schools wherever possible, I think, to get messages over, if they're prepared to give the time into the curriculum, which is one of the barriers.
Absolutely. And there's a number of issues there. And I agree with you wholeheartedly. It isn't just students at school that don't understand business. Unfortunately, there's far too many adults that don't either. And again, it's another outflow of some of the poor media reporting that we've had over the years and the fact that business isn't really covered, or when it is covered by media outlets, they tend to think about giant corporations that are avoiding their tax rather than anything else. Whereas there are 5.6 million businesses in this country, and 97% of them employ less than kind of 5 people.
Yeah.
So we actually live in a small business world, not a big corporate world. So introducing young people to the concept of business is really something I'm very passionate about as well. And I'm glad that you share that, Terry, because it is a very important thing and it's a very important concept. I just want to talk about the day job as well, though. You're kind of the one day a week that you've got left when you're not playing golf or inspiring young people to actually do work with businesses. Let's explore some of that for a moment and the kind of work that you're doing.
Okay, well, basically, I'm working mainly with smaller businesses. I had an initial target of businesses up to 5 million quid and employing 100 people. But actually, I find I'm working a lot with micro businesses, businesses with sort of less than 10 employees. I actually find it very rewarding because you can actually talk to the person who can make the decisions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which actually is useful before you start. Because the large corporates, you can get more per day, obviously, and you earn more money.
Yep.
But basically, you have to go through 74,000 people to get there. So I work a lot with small businesses. I find that one of the biggest issues is actually getting them to be sustainable. Because you know the numbers in Kent, where something around, I think it's 67%, the last figure I saw from a Barclays report, of businesses don't get to year 3, so
yep.
startups.
Yep.
So really, it's really important that after the first 12 months that people actually get engaged with support of some sort. And there isn't a lot of it out there.
Yeah.
The government's pulled a lot of the funding. And if you look at some research that RIFT did, I will mention RIFT and F, there you go. If you look at the research that RIFT did, they actually researched what small business people go to for advice.
Yep.
And 6th on the list are professionals who actually may know what they're doing a little bit because they've been there and done it. The first place you go to is ask your family about what to do about your business and so on. And so it goes on. That's not a criticism, it's the way it is. So what I do is effectively support businesses to succeed and grow. I work with no more than three or four businesses at a time because, one, it's a time element, but secondly, I think it needs that dedication, and I'm on call if they want me.
Yeah.
And we'll either address particular issues or we'll go for a strategy, or rather the big picture, and analyse what the business is doing at the moment, where it wants to go. The critical thing to me that's coming out a lot is that people need to determine, I had this conversation with a mentee last night for the Kent Foundation, needs to determine, why do you start your business for? What actually do you want out of it? You know, and that's partly material things, but also it's about getting other things, I find, from most businesses. They want some satisfaction. They want to prove a point because they were in the corporate world and they've used their redundancy and what's not. And then secondly, what do you want it to be? If you can determine those two things and nail them down, then everything else starts to fall out of that. As if you like, the things you do, the plans you put together, the approaches fall out of just really committing to what do you want from it? What's it really mean to you? And what do you want it to look like?
People don't want to make money for the sake of making money,
absolutely.
Do they?
Well, a lot of people don't, actually.
I mean, well, actually, it's actually surprising. Last year, we ran a series of shows through the entire year with the University of Kent Business School, who have a project called the BIG, project, the Business Improvement and Growth Project. And they've been working for about 17 years now with small businesses, thousands and thousands of them. And they did a survey of the thousands and thousands of small businesses they worked with and asked them about their motivation for being in business. And making money was the least. It just wasn't on the radar of why people start a business. It just isn't. And it's one of those things that people get completely wrong.
I think the commercial reality of any business is you've got to make money.
You have to make
money. Otherwise, you won't be in business for very long. But
it's not the motivation. It's not the motivation.
I think that's what Terry's talking about.
No, it's not the motivation. In fact, the research sat here in front of me, actually, again, from Rift, which they did it, and I'll use it. 53% of people start a business because they desire to be their own boss.
Yeah.
They want to run their own lives. They don't want to.
It's a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle issue. And then you say 11% is about work-life balance. I won't go through all the numbers, but the big motivation, and the thing that people do sometimes, they focus on the cash, which is what you're saying, Martin, must generate all this money. Obviously, people have got to generate money to just survive. That's a given. But why do you really want to do it? What's your motivation to get out of bed at 6:30 that morning and go to that networking meeting if that's what you do?
Yeah.
Why are you doing it? And if you lose sight of why you're doing it, you lose your drive. If you lose your drive, you don't align, you don't commit, and you don't deliver.
So money, for example, might be all about security. Mm-hmm. You know, financial security for your family.
Absolutely.
For your children, you know, for your parents as they get older, for yourselves as you get older. Yeah, you know, it's not money for the sake of money, it's money because we want security in our later life.
As you intimated, you need money to run a business.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Of course you do.
Absolutely.
It's a given. It's still Maslow triangle. We won't go into that stuff. But basically, the other thing I find is that there's been a lot of research about why small businesses don't spend more time on developing their business and why over half of small businesses don't have an effective business plan or one at all. And the biggest single reason, according to the research, again, via Rift, is that 47% of businesses say they haven't got the time. I haven't got the time.
Yeah.
I ain't got the time to make it happen. So that, therefore, effectively, the business is running them, not them running the business. So one of my big themes I go on is about taking control of the business and how we can get that in place. So you run the business the way you want to run it, not the business running you.
Absolutely. And you're absolutely right. And you can look at this from a number of different angles as well, because I talk to people about social media. I talk to people about marketing. I talked about, and they've all got no time to do that. And you go, if you're not going to market, sell, or talk to your customers, what are you actually doing? Yeah.
A lot of people haven't got the time, frankly. But then, you know, I think there's a difference there between not having the time but recognizing the need.
I don't believe that.
And then the need exists, and therefore you can outsource that.
I don't believe that. I don't believe they haven't got the time. I believe they haven't got the inclination. Or they're scared of it. And I think that's where people like Terry comes in, because as a small business owner, you tend to go, I don't know how to do that, so I'm not going to do that. What I'm good at, I call it the florist scenario. and this is somewhat rude, but I operate as an angel investor. And many years ago, somebody came to me and wanted 50 grand to open a florist shop. And the only reason they wanted to open a florist shop was because they were a florist. Yeah. They, you know, they'd done no analysis of the fact that where they wanted to open it, there was already six florist shops or anything like that. They just wanted to be a florist. And the thing about that is they're great at flower arranging, but not much else. And it's the other stuff that they need to do, but they tend to focus on arranging flowers.
Yeah, you're absolutely, absolutely right, Paul. I mean, I work with businesses that have great commitment and great skill. And the guy I was talking to last night is an engineering degree guy, got a degree in engineering. Fantastic idea, but doesn't know what to do about the marketing, doesn't know what to do about the financial management, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And therefore, he needs some support to develop what I call a strategy, at least a framework within which the business can operate. And it actually does pay back. And I would say this, wouldn't I? If you actually invest behind talking to a professional coach or even your accountant, doesn't matter, someone who professionally has experience that can help you, there is an ROI there.
Yes,
there is a proven ROI that you can actually get a return from getting support from consultants or coaches or other people who are experts.
It's difficult, and playing devil's advocate for a moment, as a small business, it is difficult, isn't it? Because you tend to not have a lot of money, and you tend to think that management consulting or coaching is going to be expensive. But I think more than that is because you don't know, so you don't know what you don't know, therefore you don't know what you need to know in order to hire it. You know, it's a Donald Rumsfeld type of thing, isn't it?
Yeah. Martin said
there are known unknowns.
You don't know what you don't know until someone tells you something you don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I'm not an expert on social media, don't claim to be. So basically I talk to people that are. Whether I'll commission someone to do it for me might be another view. But my issue around all those activities in marketing and social media is determine your messaging first.
Yeah.
Determine your target market first. All those things need to come before you rush out and buy a new website or before you do something in social media. Where are you going? Who do you want to talk to? And what do you talk to them about?
Yep.
When you've got that understood, then you can plan your program or get someone to do it for you.
Absolutely,
and that goes right back to the beginning where you started, Terry, in terms of why do you want to start a business?
Absolutely,
and that is the first building block. What is your motivation?
Yep.
And that isn't for some people it will be. I want to drive a Ferrari by the time I'm 25. But as your life,
it's not worth it.
As your life progresses, those priorities will change inevitably. But you have to start with something.
By the way, there's nothing wrong wanting to drive a Ferrari by the time you're 25, and good luck to you if you can do it. But as long as you don't tread on people on the way to get there, because guess what? They'll catch you on the way back down again.
Exactly,
Terry has written us a brilliant blog on this.
Has he?
Which you haven't got yet, but we've got it on our website.
Well, if you let me have it so I can read it.
I might do.
Okay, cool.
But it's all about that. It's all about understanding, where you're trying to get to and expressing that in a very personal, in very personal terms and your family, obviously, and what you want for
Absolutely.
Your family.
Absolutely. And I find it takes a good hour to sit down to nail down those two things. The other thing I would say is that from all that, though, you need a plan. I would really say to businesses out there, you need some kind of business plan. You really do. And that one that tracks what you can do and how you're doing and how you can change as you go along. Because just because you do it once doesn't mean it never changes. And again, some external mentoring, at least if you want to do it yourself, is great, because you'll have a person like me just doing a bit of challenging. Say, do you really mean that? Is that what you do? Shall we just do that one again?
And, Terry, do a free introductory meeting as well, don't you?
Because I think the what I call the chemistry meeting, which is the first hour over a coffee, is important to understand a bit about the issues in the customer's business and see how you can customise it. Because basically, I won't work with anyone I don't think I can work with. I don't think anybody should work with me that can't work with me once we meet. So the initial meeting's about understanding each other, understanding the chemistry, the challenges, the opportunities, and then determining whether there's something there that we could both get a benefit from. If there isn't, I walk away from it and I recommend the client does. That's happened once or twice.
Absolutely. I have to say, I've been in business for myself 25-odd years now. And I have reasonable, successful businesses. Some of them should be. I've got enough of them. But I still, on a regular basis, use mentors and professional support people to help me, one, with specific things. So I have great accountants. I have great, sometimes good lawyers. But I've also used mentors and coaches to just help me think things through and as a sounding board to bounce things off of. Because we all need that, no matter how much experience, how clever we think we are. We can only see things from our own point of view. So I've used that, and I would always recommend to business people, talk to somebody else. Get a different view. Get a different perspective. Get some expertise in to help you think it through. That person doesn't have to be an expert in any particular market area. It's just helping you think through what it is you're trying to do. So absolutely.
A problem shared is a problem halved.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I do sort of everything from a mentoring package, which is basically what you described, Paul, through a full coaching package to one-off fits in training terms and so on, and an initial discovery session where you spend all morning just trying to work out with the person exactly where they're going, what the business processes look like, you know, exactly what their marketing target should be and so on and so forth. And you end up with a sort of a initial analysis of what you should do next. So, you know, that's basically what I do, and I do it because I enjoy doing it.
Fantastic. And we could talk about this for a long, long time, but sadly we're running out of time. So, Terry, if people want to get hold of you and talk to you more to explore your chemistry event or to find out about the work you're doing in the Young Foundation or Prince's Trust or to explore your mentoring work, how do they get hold of you?
Well, basically I've got a website, botfieldassociates.co.uk. Take a look there first. The Twitter handle is at TDBotty. It is quite unique. And the email is probably the best way. It's terry@botfield.net. So I do have the email address named after the business as well.
TDBotty. Go for it. Love it. Terry, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. Been an absolute pleasure to talk to you. And do stay with us for the last few minutes of the show. I've got a couple of tweets I want to read out. You might have read this one. I don't know. It's from Insanely Cakes.
No.
And it's Insanely Cakes on the Twitter, and they go, Vanilla Web, we are super proud of my hubby on the soft launch event of Big Pan Foods on Saturday. So do follow Insanely Cakes on the Twitter or Big Pan Foods on the Twitter, because they've put a picture there of some Big Pan food, and it looks pretty interesting to me. You did mention about Kent Independent Traders.
I did.
You read that out already? I'm seeing loads of different tweets about all kinds of different things. Hold on, let me find out. Riverford Organic. Caroline and Liz, the Organic Sisters. That's not easy to say. You can get in trouble with that. The Organic Sisters. We know you love a lemon. There's a cooking homemade lemonade. Do follow Caroline and Liz, Riverford_Kent. Slope Off Friday, September the 2nd at 2 p.m. Whitstable is Slope Off Friday. It's at the Crescent Turner Hotel in Whitstable, and there's just a few seats left, they say. You can follow them on Slope Off Friday on the Twitter. What are you laughing at now?
Sleets.
Sleets?
What seats?
Sleets.
I'm going to stick with the You're wasting time. I'm going to stick with the local community theme here. Edenbridge Motor Show. I've had a tweet. Sunday, the 11th of September, 10 till 4, Gabriel Showground, Mill Hill, Edenbridge. Live music, beer tent, helicopter rides. That sounds like fun. Food court, stalls, children's activities, free parking, £2.50. I'm going to be going to that. Edenbridge Motor Show. Sunday, the 11th of September. Over to you, Paul.
Cool. Had a tweet from Alex Waterton, who is F Keys on the Twitter. Free 2-hour Microsoft Office productivity efficiency seminar / consultancy. You can book now by calling him on Medway, which is 01634-512-345. 512-345. Or by far and away, the easiest way is to follow him on the Twitter. And his Twitter handle is at F Keys. And Alex Waterton is an absolute genius at Microsoft Office, and I've used him before.
So have I.
Cool.
Denise, brilliant. I think this might be one of your colleagues, Linda Bishop. She says, can I have a shout-out, please, for my Bright Creative Workshops that she's running? So just tell us very quickly what the Bright Creative Workshops are all about.
Bright Creative Workshops, the workshops I was talking about for employers. So you've got Mandalas, is that how you say it?
Mandalas.
Is that it? Mandalas. So basically they're spiral designs that you colour in, and it's a way of representing your life and how you think about the structure of your life. I'm not too great on that, but that's Linda's Creative Bright Workshops.
Great. Consider yourself shouted out, Linda.
Fantastic. It's that time in the show.
Channel Radio. Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time of the show when we bring you a news update from the Federation of Small Business. And the FSB has won a tax reporting concession. The FSB has been strongly campaigning for a change of direction on the government's plan for mandatory quarterly tax reporting. And this week, the FSB won a key concession for small businesses. The Treasury has revised its proposals, removing small firms and the self-employed with modest turnovers altogether from the making tax digital proposals, which will mean that in addition to the 1.6 million small businesses that were already excluded, a further 1.3 million small firms will also not be included in the scope. And that's pretty right too. This means that half of the UK's 5.6 million small businesses will now not be affected by the ridiculous quarterly tax reporting regime.
But we're talking about a turnover threshold of £10,000.
Of small, very small businesses. So we're talking for the new ones,
tiny.
Go for it, Martin. Come on, we haven't got long.
I want to stay with tax, actually, as you mentioned it, because I had a nasty VAT surprise this week.
Did you?
So I had to
register
for VAT from the 1st of May, but I think this is really important to highlight this. Mm. I'd assumed that my first VAT reporting period would be end of July, one quarter, 3 months.
No, you've got to go back to the beginning.
So actually, my first VAT period was the end of June, which was only 2 months, May and June. Mm. So I was actually late filing my VAT return this month.
Yep.
But I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah.
So any newly VAT registered businesses out there, you might want to register on HMRC's website and actually have a look at your own VAT return reporting requirements.
If you go into the Kent Business Radio website, we have a whole thing on different VAT registrations. But basically, once you register for VAT, it's for an entire VAT year, no matter when you register in the year. Yeah. You have to go back and you have to reapply the VAT as well. You've got to be really careful with that. There's some very arcane rules. We're fast running out of time, so I need to get on with this FSB report. Steady job figures, a sign of strength in the job market this week, with unemployment dropping to 1.64 million. The UK job numbers show the unemployment rate steady at 4.9%. And these are the first figures taken into account the introduction of the National Living Wage as well. So it's still good news, even though we've up to the living wage, so it's now the national minimum wage, really, although the minimum wage does change again on October the 1st this year, so be aware of that.
A-level results. So clearly, last week was a pretty big week in terms of results for school leavers. And the FSB is saying, look, you know, don't just think about further education as an option moving forward. Really give some serious thought to apprenticeships and the opportunities that are out there to secure some fantastic apprenticeships. So if you're unsure about who to turn to, who to talk to, talk to your local college, you know, talk to Mid-Kent College, talk to Thanet College, you know, whoever your local college is, have a conversation with them about apprenticeships, because I think that really is high on the agenda these days, and I think there's some fantastic opportunities coming through there.
Yeah. The FSB have been working with the government to ensure a market shake-up of high street banks. The Competitions and Markets Authority are about to make announcement on the changes to the retail banking sector, and that is following a 21-month investigation involving the FSB. Mm. And that brings us to the end of our news roundup for this week.
Channel Radio News Update.
That brings us to the end of the show for another week. And coming up later today on Channel Radio at 5 o'clock, we have the ladies' favourite, Mr. Craig Avery, with his stripy socks and his celebrity interviews. That is followed at 7 by...
Welcome on to the new Potato Show.
7 p.m., 18 tracks of unsigned new up-and-coming music with Mr. Jamie Andrews, and on the new Potato Show. That is followed by the comically hilarious year of 1967 on I Was Lord Kitchener's Valet. And apparently 1967 is a funny year, and it's a funny year every week. And then, of course, as always, we round up Tuesday nights with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two, three, get down!
cool drum beat and a squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So, we round off the evening, as we always do here on Channel Radio, with Boy George with the Club Culture Show. Thank you for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. I've got one more tweet to read out. I've just spotted it going through from the lovely folks, Mark Smith and the team at Whitstable Stove Shop. And they say, shout out, please, running down summer stock of barbecues, fire pits, chimeneas, all in preparation for what looks like a very busy winter. So that's Whitstable Stove Shop on the Twitter. Do give them a follow. But hey, you've been listening to me, Paul Andrews, and marvellous Martin White on the Business Bunker Show with our fabulous guests, Denise Wilton, Leslie Dean, and Terry Botfield on the Business Bunker Show. We will be back with you for another show next Tuesday. In the meantime, have a fabulous week.
And Birdie.
Paul Andrews with the Business Bunker.